Hello and welcome to Just Markets 365, your one-stop shop for investment news and analysis. Hello, hello, and I hope you all are having a wonderful day. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, and we had a green day today. We had a slight rebound in the market. We had a market that the S&P was up 0.8%, the Dow and the Nasdaq were all up, the global markets, you know, have been doing okay, just, you know, kind of processing the information. And, you know, yesterday I named the podcast episode Ready, Fire, Aim, and this is exactly what I was talking about. This is, you know, the market investors get worried, they have a knee-jerk reaction, don't think about what they're doing, and then once they do it, then they think about it, and then they go, okay, it does make sense. Now, today could be easily a dead cat bounce. What is a dead cat bounce? Now, dead cat bounces are usually occur in bear markets where you have the market is in a downturn, and then all of a sudden you have this upswing, and that's usually due to a lot of investors who are short the market are covering their shorts, and that pushes the market higher, and that's what we call a dead cat bounce. Now, it could be that this is a kind of a short-term dead cat bounce, right? You know, there could have been a lot of hedge funds or investors out that were shorting the market, and they're just covering some of their shorts because you had a huge down day yesterday. And that could easily be the case, but I'm not saying that this pullback is over. It's definitely holding the support on the S&P 500, which is 2798. Now, just to talk about what is a support and resistance. So when we were looking at technical analysis, one of the things we look at is, you know, where is there a support for this market in terms of ranges, you know, top end range and bottom end range. So a resistance is, hey, the market has to break through this resistance level to really move up higher. And the support is where, you know, hey, this is the average range, and this is where the market has previously bottomed down and bounced up and things like that. So what we're seeing right now is the current support is about 2798 on the S&P 500, or within that range of a few points here and there. And the markets yesterday came close to 2801 yesterday, so came pretty close to the support level. Nobody knows the future. I don't have a glass ball, and I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. But it's always a good exercise to go through what are the possible tailwinds for this market and what are the possible headwinds. Now, headwinds are what is going to resist this market from going higher, and tailwinds is what's pushing this market higher, right? So that's the difference. So let's talk about for some of the headwinds for this market. And these are not everything that's out there, but these are some of the main aspects of the headwinds. We have the possible conflict with Iran, right? We have moved in our carrier groups in the Strait of Hormuz. There's been a couple of attacks on some Saudi Arabian oil tankers. And it's a possibility. There are rumors that the Iranians did it. So there is a possibility of an escalation in conflict away from just verbiage to actual actionable areas. So that's a risk for this market and for oil, right? So if this disruption of oil supplies, that's going to move the price higher, and that's a headwind for the markets because a higher oil price is a tax on the consumer here in the U.S. Venezuela, you know, we're having a political crisis there and an economic crisis. And the economic crisis is not going to be solved until the political crisis is dealt with. And you have two leaders there that are not willing to give up anything. So you have that issue there here south of the U.S. And you have the trade negotiations or the trade war with China that's escalating, not de-escalating, right? We had what we thought probably had a deal and almost done, just need to sign and ratify it. But no, that deal fell apart. Seems like there's no next date for another round of negotiations. where we have already raised some tariffs on Chinese products. The Chinese have raised tariffs on our products, of our agriculture products, and now we have we're talking about raising additional tariffs on China, and that's getting worse, not better. It seems like it may be a few months, maybe a year, maybe after the election, before we have a trade deal with China. And then we have a possible trade war or negotiation with Europe. We are getting ready to, as a country, to put tariffs on European automobiles and automotive parts, right? So that's another area of where there's headwinds. The markets are going to react if we do press the EU with those tariffs. And, you know, so that's going to hurt the market. That's going to hurt earnings for multinational U.S. companies because they're going to retaliate same way the Chinese did, right? So that's another headwinds. And, of course, the biggest risk that we always have we have to think about over the weekends and every day and every time I wake up, it's, you know, what did the president tweet? The tweet storms, right? That's what's really caused a lot of the turmoil. I believe that if he had not tweeted anything about the trade negotiations and they kept everything quiet and tight and were still negotiating, you would not have this volatility. But the fact is, when he gets on the Twitter and he tweets and talks about different things and talks about more tariffs and things as such, it makes the market more volatile. The market gets heartburn and becomes more volatile, gets anxious, gets more volatile, and that's what's causing all this volatility, right? So, but now let's talk about some of the other areas, the positives, and some things that we have particularly here on the podcast. On this podcast, we focus a lot on economic indicators, and we go through them on a regular basis. And we haven't gone through in the past few episodes because we haven't really had too many of them. But tomorrow is going to be a big day. You're going to have some retail sales number come out tomorrow, and some industrial numbers and some business information come out tomorrow. That's going to tell us a lot about the economy as a whole. And that's a really, really good, important part. And if those numbers come out stronger than expected, you can see this market rise from there. Now, we have correctly on this podcast predicted that the market was overbought, and it has been overbought. We have had a correction, and we talked about the support level, the initial one, and that's where the market bottomed out yesterday. Now, I'm not saying that the market will continue to rebound or decline, but that all depends on what happens tomorrow with fundamental economic data, and that can make a big difference. On this podcast, we talked about the yield curve inversion and how everyone's talking about that again, about the 10-year treasury. Is that 2.4? Now you have a inverted yield curve where your long end of the curve is yielding lower than the front end of the curve, the shorter maturities. And if you want to know what a yield curve is, and if you want to know all that stuff, you can go back to our podcast from beginning of April, and we have gone through that in detail. So the yield curve is back to being inverted, and that's mostly has to do with risk off trading versus what's happening to the economy as a whole, and what is the situation with global yields, which are lower around the world. So there's a lot of demand for U.S. debt. So don't feel that is an issue, but there's a lot of talk about it. It's again creating turmoil and volatility and anxiety in the market. And one of the other things is IPOs. And IPOs, you know, we have extensively talked about the Lyft IPO and the Uber IPO. We had an entire podcast episode that we dedicated to Lyft and Uber IPOs and their valuations. And just give you an update, Uber IPO'd on Friday and it traded down on its first day, same thing as Lyft. And, when we talked about it a few weeks ago about Uber, we talked about how the initial, you know, analyst rumors were it's going to be valued at $120 billion, and then it went down to 100, then it went down to 80, 85, and then it IPO'd at $75 billion. And now it's at $64 billion after a couple of days of trading. So it's definitely taken a huge hit, you know, and that tells you something, that the private markets are not always accurate and efficient either. In the private markets, the last capital raise from the private markets that Uber did was at a valuation of $85 billion, and now it's at $64. So you even know that there could be a lot of money, you know, in the private markets that's really overpaying for companies and acquisitions. So that's not a good sign. That means a lot of money running after a few little properties, and that's why investors are willing to pay a huge premium to get exposure here. And that also tells you about the risk appetite in the markets. The investors are very risk prone right now. They don't want to take a lot of risk because of all the different issues that are specific to Lyft and Uber. The fact that they are not making any money, right? And there's no foreseeable future. I think you can say in 5 years or 3 years that they'll make money, because they're really far away from it. And the business model, the way it's currently structured, doesn't support that. And that's an issue for investors. And investors want their money. You know, at the end of the day, you are valued at your earnings and not your revenue. They may call themselves the next Amazon, but Amazon is a different animal and had a much larger market out there. So we'll see what happens there, you know. But Lyft and Uber, still not a good investment. Still, in my mind, a speculative investment and a risky investment. And we'll write about that. And we continue to feel the same way about this investment. And lastly, earnings. You know, the Q1 earnings for 2019 are almost over. The market has basically priced most of those earnings in, and that's behind us already. So there's nothing in the next month, I would say, a month and a half, that there's really anything to look forward to, with the exception of some of the economic data that's going to come out tomorrow and this week that will give us some additional information. But other than that, there's not a lot of tailwinds out there, right? So just a lot of headwinds. So that's why I say that I don't know. I think this market is going to be either in a tight range or it's going to just drift a little bit lower here, and because of the lack of information out there. It's a possibility. You can have the Fed chairman come out, or somebody from the Fed say, hey, you know, it seems like we'll need to add some stimulus to the economy because these tariffs are hurting manufacturing and the economy as a whole, and the consumer spending less towards the end of the year. All that could happen, but toward the end of the year. But there's nothing in the next month and a half, I would say, that's telling me that, hey, there's a movement higher. I've been wrong before. I could be wrong again, and tomorrow could be a different day, and things can change a lot. But from a fundamental standpoint, from earnings standpoint, from technical analysis standpoint, all the direction that I can see so far go to a negative market return here in the next few days, 2 weeks, and things can change quickly in this market. We know that. So closing out this podcast, we definitely have more headwinds here. The data shows there are more headwinds than tailwinds for the market. There's a few possible tailwinds that can be really, really effective, but we have to wait and see. We're in a neutral zone in this market. We don't have a lot of direction here, and I think that we'll just have to wait and see, because there's a lot more risks out there than on the downside than there to the upside. So let's just wait and see. Let's be patient. And if you know, have been listening to this podcast and you have raised cash, and if you have rebalanced your portfolios, you're sitting pretty, you're looking great, and you can wait, and you can you know, be patient, right? So that's a good thing. So let's see what happens. Tomorrow we'll definitely get into more of the economic indicators and talk about that, and talk about the health of the economy and where things stand, and where, in which sectors are there any additional opportunities. There's always a bull market somewhere, and we know that. So we'll try to find and see where that is tomorrow. And until then, please rate us 5 stars. Please subscribe and follow us on all the different podcast platforms. Take care. Until tomorrow. Please remember this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.